Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi. And with me, as always, most of the time, some of the time, every once in a while, is Clues.
I am physically present.
Clues got back from PAX at, like, early o'clock.
Definitely early o'clock.
Clues has not slept.
No. My cab to the airport arrived at 4:45 in the a.m., which meant that I had to get up and shower and pack before that. And I'm not really sure how I got here, is what I'm going to say.
We'll just assume that the cab has been driving you around all day and you will get hit with a bill soon.
I'm going to owe a lot of money. I should have Ubered this.
And also, Squee is here.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi, Goblin Friend.
Hi, Cab Clues.
Hey, I'm in a cab. It's a cash cab.
Hey!
Blinky light, kidnapping.
Anyway, so this is Monday Night Magic number 602, and we do not have an exclusive Dominaria preview because that was last week.
Right.
Go back in time.
What he said. But what we do have is lots of stuff to talk about, sort of. Some amount of stuff to talk about.
There is some finite amount of things to talk about.
At least as far as this show is concerned, yes. So, Clues, you going to survive?
I will survive.
Okay, so Clues is now Gloria Gaynor.
At first I was afraid.
Were you petrified?
I was petrified.
Yep. Okay, so, let us go to...
Let us go.
All right.
He didn't go to the song I thought he was going to go with there.
Yeah,
no,
it's the first thing that
popped into my head. I'm sorry. That's just the way
it is. No, it's better this way. If you'd actually gone with the other one, we could get pulled from YouTube.
Some things will never change. Before we get rolling, can I just say one thing? Because I was looking over some deck lists here.
Sure.
For the events. Believe it or not, folks, we're going to talk about some Magic events here on our Magic the Gathering podcast. I have finally seen some of these masterpiece from not Ixalan, the one before that.
Hour of Devastation?
Hour of Devastation, yes.
Amonkhet Block?
Amonkhet Block, yes. I've finally seen some of these in person. They look way better in person than they do in pictures, but you know, people told us that. But now I've seen it, and I agree. I actually saw the Force of Will.
That's the first one I saw, too, and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it wasn't being used. It wasn't being used on me, so that was fine.
I opened one of them. I just forget which one it was. But yeah, they look fine in person. It's just the images don't show the bolding nearly as well.
Yeah, they don't do them justice.
So it's much harder to see where the actual word is in the title until you've read it a few times.
There you go, then. So, let's go to Seattle.
Oh, can we? I like Seattle.
Well, I mean, not... Right, this moment, no, we have to record a podcast.
I will sleep on the plane.
You will sleep in the cab.
In the cab.
I will sleep in the cab.
No, in Seattle this weekend, there were not one, but two Grands Prix.
Grands Prix.
One GP. Two GP. That's all we got. I'm glad Clues thought that was funny. So, we're going to start with Standard, because no reason, really. Apparently, as near as we can tell from the standings, there were 1,509 people there, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
The winner, and I apologize for screwing up everyone's name as always, was, I'm going to say, Ganyan, because... That's how I say things. But not only did Ganyan win with his mono red aggro deck running a full four Rekindling Phoenix and Hazoret the Fervent, but he won all of the matches.
All of them.
All of them. Like, he was 15-0 at the beginning or at the end of Swiss, and then he won the quarters, won the semis, won the finals to go 18-0 at a GP. for the first time ever.
Combo.
Not meaning it's the first time he ever did it. It's the first time anyone ever did it.
Yeah.
So.
Seems good.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. That's completely unheard of. We've had several people get close. I mean, our old co-host Jeremy Schofield was close. LSV made it all the way to the semis once. That might have been in a pro tour. I can't remember.
I know that he got almost to the end and then lost, and that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
One thing that if you've never played in a long Magic event that you don't understand is that after a set amount of time, your brain actually turns into gelatin.
It does. It oozes out.
And it becomes much, much harder to play cleanly and effectively against equally or greater skill opponent. And that's why, like, people who maybe top of their game at the beginning of the event will start making mistakes on camera, and you'll be like, well, I'd never make that mistake. But at this point, it's amazing they're not actually eating the cards for sustenance. And to make it 18-0 is an incredible amount of physical and mental fortitude. So,
but you see,
mad kudos there.
He was running aggro, so he could go get lunch,
which is an advantage. The control players don't know food anymore. They subsist on a nutrient paste that they also used as a life counter.
Also tears.
I mean, they don't have any shortage of salt. That's known. But yeah, so suffice to say, if you want to play the long game, we now have evidence that you probably want to play mono red aggro because you get to eat. And if you start to lose your mental facilities, just go for the face.
Yep. But he's got, like, it's really aggro.
Yeah.
Like I said, 4 Hazoret, 4 Rekindling Phoenix. You don't need much.
The curve.
Yeah, you don't need much more than that, but that's your 4 mana top of the curve, which, damn.
Yeah.
So let's see. The deck lists aren't in order, so who's in second? Grayson Roberts is in second. Oh, yeah, he's running the blue-red God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything here that's out of the ordinary, necessarily. So, yeah, he's running that deck. It's been around for a little while. We know it. We love it. Or are aware of it. Who's next? Jeremy Fry. Also running a blue-red God Pharaoh's Gift.
Yep.
It's a little different, but eh. Close enough. Who's next? Hey, Jerry Thompson. Look at that. Jerry T. Top 8ing a GP. Who'da thunk it?
It does sound like his hobby.
Right? It's just, you know, I guess I'll just go top 8 this GP today. Heh. What's he running? A black-red aggro with a Glory Bringer and 2 Hazoret and 1 Rekindling Phoenix. But also Chandra Torch of Defiance and Aethersphere Harvester. So, you know. There's that. Where's the black? Oh, Unlicensed Disintegration is all the black in the main.
Doesn't take much.
But then in the board, he's got Doomfallen, Argyle's Bloodfast, and Fatal Push. Remember that card? Man, that's a good card. So, yeah, there you go. Who's next? Charles Wong is running.
Blue-red God Pharaoh's Gift.
Oh, there he is. Okay. Blue-red God Pharaoh's Gift. Hey, look at that. Popular deck. It's good stuff. Slater Claudel, let's say. Claudel? Claudel? I don't see him. Here he is running Sultai Constrictor. Hey, look at that. Anytime you have Hadana's Climb in a deck, I'm going to go, oh, really?
Does get your attention.
Because Hadana's Climb, hang on, that's the one that flips into, yeah, the Winged Temple that is basically give a creature flying and double its power. Yeah, that guy. It's a good card. But nothing really we haven't seen before, so moving on. Who? That was 6.
DiMaggio.
Matthew DiMaggio is running. Nope. Is running a black red aggro deck as well. Yep. Okay.
Doomfall.
He's got the Glory Bringers in the board, though. Slightly more aggro. Black red aggro than Jerry T. And in 8th place, Andrew Shane is running Mardu Vehicles. So, yeah, there you go. Very interesting. Got some black-red aggro, some mono-red aggro, 3 Godfarer's Gift decks, and then vehicles. Oh, and the Constrictor. I don't think the Godfarer's Gift decks really count as anything remotely control-y, so it's a very aggressive format, I'd guess. Where? Excuse me, I've got stuff everywhere. Top 8 decks, top 8, top 16. Okay, hang on. Quick look at standard.
Top 5!
Oh, here we go. Brad Nelson in 9th had a blue-black Scarab God deck. There's your control. Sultai Constrictor, more black-red aggro, more mono-red, more God Pharaoh's Gift, more aggro, more vehicles, more God Pharaoh's Gift. Wow. Okay. Damn, Brad Nelson. Be that only bastion of control in the whole top 16. Well done, sir. Or not, if you're Clues. Who's asleep in the cab?
I'm totally not. I was looking something up. And
he was resting his eyes.
I was resting my eyes. That's right.
So that was standard. Had a historic finish. 18-0. Completely insane. Holy crap. But that's not all, because, like I said earlier, there were two Grands Prix.
Grands Prixes. I wasn't going to say that.
But there were two. There was also a Legacy GP.
Indeed there was.
With more people.
Yeah, they had, what, 1663?
Yeah.
It was a very fine year, 1663. I actually have no idea what events took place in 1663.
There were boats.
Are of note. I've been informed, this just handed to me, there were boats in 1663. All right, excellent. So,
you read it somewhere else, but you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. There were 1,663 players for the king of all formats, Legacy. Just soak that in. Legacy GPs, we don't get many of those these days, which is very, very sad.
Yeah, this one had a timeshare.
It did. That's right. It did. If it was going to get a GP, its brother got one too. It's much, much younger brother. It's too standard. It's the joke. Yeah. Okay, great. So what do we have going on? Who took it all down? It was Daniel Duterte. Did I get that right? Did I get that wrong enough?
I think it's wrong enough. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I get things wrong enough. Oh, by the way, if you come to the coverage hoping for the decks out of order, we got you covered.
Because
they are totally out of order. He was on Grixis Delver, so no white or green need apply. Although we do have our first four Deathrite Shamans. You know, the best one-drop Planeswalker in existence. There it is, Deathrite. I'm sure this is the only set of Deathrite Shamans.
Sorry, Kadian.
That we're going to see here in the top eight. He beat out Jeremy Dazani with Sultai Control, which I do not approve of because it has that word in its title. Sultai.
That is, in fact, one-third stuff you hate.
It is one-third stuff I hate. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing about Sultai. It is not Boros. Like, actually, by definition, it's not Boros, because it's not...
Yeah, it is Tilda Boros, you're right.
Yeah, it's Bang Boros, you know, exclamation point Boros.
No, that's different. Family show. Keep going.
Okay, fair enough. However, there are, again... Oh, look at that. There's four more copies of Deathrite Shaman. Okay, well, that's fine. It'll be okay. In third place, Sam Black. You might have heard of this guy before. He was playing lands. Lots of lands under Starry Skies Above. Don't wait, fence him in.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Lands?
Lands, yeah.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Who would play those?
In his defense, he's got four Mox Diamond.
My understanding is the only people who play lands are people who don't play Dredge.
Oh.
So there you go. So not Dredge. Sam Black was playing not Dredge. So in other words, Magic. That was a joke at the expense of Dredge players. Please don't write in.
I do like that the deck list just says Sam Black's lands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that Sam Black owns all these lands?
Like, I would hope so. He's playing with them.
That's a lot of lands. Yes, sorry, Bob. In fourth place, Keaton Wood was playing Miracles because we apparently don't need no stinking tops to still play Miracles.
I mean, it keeps it from being horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps it from being. Yeah, it keeps it from just being miracles, and you get a miracles, and you get a miracles, and oh God, I just want to eat lunch. Can I please? I concede. Can I? I still can't go eat lunch.
No, you're not allowed to walk away from Jason the Mind Sculptor.
What if he's not wearing a shirt? Because shirtless Jace is
hunky.
An image I can't get out of my mind, no matter how much bleach I put.
Windswept.
There was a cosplayer. There were lots of cosplayers wandering around GP Seattle, but
one of them was shirtless Jace.
Yeah, was Jace the Body Sculptor.
Yeah,
I appreciated that.
I did see that. It was pretty funny.
Oh, by the way, neither our third nor fourth place deck had Deathrite Shaman, so we're out of the Deathrite Shaman woods. You just needed them for one and two, and everything's good. In fifth place, Noah Walker was on Grixis Delver. Grixis Delver, I feel like I've heard that deck before. Oh, yeah, that was the first place deck. So, again, not white, not green. So, take that, I guess. He had four copies of Deathrite Shaman, too, as well. Steve Rubin was on what I think, if I checked the deck list real quick, I believe it's no white control. Because it's four color control, but I think that the one that's missing is white. Because we've got black, we got red, we got blue for reasons I don't understand, and we've got green, including four copies of Deathrite Shaman. Because welcome to Legacy, here are four copies of Deathrite Shaman, which I don't even know how much that card is going for. Maybe that's a good deal. Maybe that's how we get people to play. I don't know.
And then you ban it.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to ban it for, let's say, flavor reasons. And then we'll print a zero cost, a Dothrite Shaman. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the ticket. In seventh place, Luke Purcell also believes in miracles. You got that song in your head now? Yeah, I believe in miracles. No?
No.
All right, never mind. But also does not need your stinking top to still make your life miserable and not let you go eat. That's what I'll say. Actually, I haven't had a chance. I have not had the terrible burden of playing against miracles since.
I really thought you were going to say you haven't eaten.
The ban. No, I think I did. I'm pretty sure I came home from work and ate.
Clues, don't eat things you find in the cab.
Because I'm not hungry right now, and I think that's a bad sign. I don't know. In eighth place, though, and this one's, I guess, slightly more interesting, maybe the most interesting that we have here is Miranda Keith on Maverick. Maverick, you can be my wingman any day.
You can be mine.
Yeah, if you don't get that reference, I'd say ask your parents. But look, if your parents haven't shown you that film by now, I don't think... I'm skeptical of, I'm worried about your parents, what I'm saying. I think they should have shown you that film by now. But it is Maverick in eighth place, which is kind of weird. It's Abzan Maverick, which is not, it's not really the Maverick I'm used to. It's almost Stoneblade. It's almost Deathblade. Because there's Deathrite Shaman in here.
Ah!
But not quite. Yeah, Deathrite Shaman's all over. There are like 24 copies of Deathrite Shaman in the top eight of this. But even though it's, you know, rocking two Stoneforges for... I mean, because Maverick is a deck that is like a... It's a tool deck. So it's just going to go find the silver bullet that it needs to stop you from doing the thing that you want to do. And then it'll just, you know, kill you because that's kind of how it rolls. Even though it's got the Stoneforge Mystics here, our weapons package is one, Fork of Doom, Umizawa's Jite, the Stick of Death, the mistake, the card that shouldn't, the yet another card that we probably shouldn't have made, but here it is and we're kind of stuck with it, and a Sword of Fire and Ice, but not Batterskull. Generally, you see Batterskulls just littering the landscape anytime you see a Stoneforge Mystic lying around, because speaking of other cards that are, you know, terrible. Terrible in the good, but oppressive, maybe? A pain to fight, yes. It's a pain to see on the other side of the board, is what I'll say. But it does have two copies of Choke in the sideboard. And that is a beautiful thing.
I was going to say, which brought a tear to Clues' eye.
It did, even though the artwork that they're showing is, it's one of the masterpieces from Amonkhet. And so it doesn't look as good online as in person, but there it is. But it does say islands don't untap during their controller's untap steps, because nobody likes you, island. Nope. That's what I'll say. Let's take just a quick glance outside of the top eight. I actually haven't looked outside of the top eight until just now, so let's see if anything catches my eye. Lands, Grixis Delver. In fact, oh, you should have that looked at. We have antibiotics for that, and we can probably put you in a nice elves deck in just, you know, maybe a 6-week course of antibiotics. We can get you into. No? Okay. Tin fins.
Wow.
Boy, tin fins. Haven't seen that in a while. Oh, that's.
Wow.
That's quality. Hey, do you see what's in tin fins? Second creature there?
Yeah.
Your friend and mine. What's that creature, Chewie?
Children of Corliss?
No. Second creature.
Second creature. Maybe mine's not in the same order as yours, Clues.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
There we go. Yeah, I guess we haven't heard that in a while. More four color control. More four color control. Turbo depths. There we go.
Whoa.
More four color control. Yeah, I don't care for four color control. So what I'll say. Oh, would you want to take a look at that turbo depths, or are you still just back on tin?
It's been a while since
it's legacy.
I've seen a turbo depths deck.
Yeah, what bugs me is that, and you know, this is a conversation I got into on the Twitters earlier today with Chewie, and who were we tweeting at when that happened? Because there was another card that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later on that was previewed today for Standard that everyone assumed would make me happy, and yes, it does. I'm pleased. But there's no like true straight up aggro deck in the top 16 here that kind of bugs me. I mean, Elves is really a combo deck, but you know, I'd like to see some burninating. I'd like to see some fire. I'd like to see a burn deck or a goblin. I'd like to see a goblins deck. I mean, who wouldn't? But there you go. So that was your legacy GP.
Nice.
I was going to say a lot more control than I would have expected, but no, this is legacy. This is about as much control as I would have expected. Disappointed. But I mean, let me back up. I am pleased that there was a legacy GP. I think that's great. I love legacy. I like GPs. I am disappointed that there wasn't more aggro. So aggro players, get out there and aggro it down.
Up? No, that's down.
Yeah, I think it's down. I think we're gonna burn this down is what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Burn it down to the ground. Not metaphorically, do not actually set GPs on fire.
Please.
But play burn. I need mountains. I need lots of mountains. I need blood moons. I need lightning bolts. I need more lightning bolts. I need lightning bolt-like effects. That's what I need. I mean, you could describe, and this was a thought that I had earlier. Now, bear in mind, I haven't slept much today. This is a thought that I had earlier, which was that you could think of a legacy burn deck as like a 15 card combo deck that you've just got to get the right 15 cards in the right order and you win. It's a fairly fragile combo, but when it works, you're definitely having lunch.
Wow. And when it doesn't work, you're definitely having lunch.
Yeah. You certainly are, because you're just going to cry. Well, no, actually, I've had a control opponents. I almost said a bad word there. I've had control opponents. There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Stabilize on like two. And you're like, I just need gas. I need any burn card before they can untap those. Oh, it's too late. They've untapped them. Even if I get the burn card, they've got the counterspell mana. I am just totally hosed here.
All right, then.
I'm imagining Clues sitting around a campfire telling younger players about his unfortunate run-ins of not quite having enough fire.
Yeah, it's happened. Certainly has happened. And that's Legacy. I'm sorry that was a bit rambly, but I have lost my filter. It is somewhere in, I'm going to say, Boston. Let's say that's where I came from.
Is it with my eye?
It may be with your eye, yes.
Could be. Keep an eye out. But anyway.
I think they're both standing outside of the South Boston Papagayo because it closed and we were very disappointed. And so your eye and my filter are just pawing at the door, wishing that they could get delicious Mexican food.
But it doesn't sound like something my eye should get, but here we
are. If they want it, they're going to have to walk 20 minutes downtown to the other location of Papagayo, which I did. It's just I didn't want to take that walk.
Fair enough.
All right, but I really wanted the Mexican food.
I'm going to shut Clues up now.
Okay. Wait, that's possible? Wait, I've got a mute button, don't I?
There was one more thing about GP Seattle that is worth noting here on Monday Night Magic. During the downtime, I guess, on stream, the covered stream, they have little trivia questions, you know, that pop up. Sort of like when you go to a movie theater before even the previews, you have the trivia questions that pop up.
Yeah.
And there was one about Monday Night Magic.
Huh, I've heard of that show.
And it read, Monday Night Magic is a popular podcast that has been going for a long, all caps, time. How many episodes did it recently celebrate? And they even got it right. The answer is 600. And someone tweeted me about it, and I retweeted. I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. And Richard Hagen was like, you're welcome. And I went, because Rich Hagen is my hero. No, really, like I love Rich Hagen.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah. So,
like, on it, like, absolutely love that guy.
So a big thanks to Rich Hagen and the coverage crew for the shout out. That's awesome.
If you know Rich Hagen, tell him thank you on our behalf. If you are Rich Hagen, thank you on our behalf.
So should we move on to Milwaukee?
Milwaukee.
I think we probably should.
All right.
Because Magic was played there too.
Yes, Star City was in Milwaukee with a Modern Open where 1,062 players played, well, in the Modern Open. And I apologize for just all of these mispronunciations that are about to happen.
Can't stop it.
You can't. You can't even hope to contain it. But shut up, Clues.
I was laughing about something unrelated.
I'm going to go. So it was won by, I'm going to say, Vincenzo Balestrieri. And I think that's probably close.
It's close, not for podcast work.
Yeah, but he's running a green-red Eldrazi deck. You know, the one that runs Eldrazi Obligator, and along with the Reality Smasher and the Thought Not Seer. Oh, he's also running Batterskull. There it is. It was just in the wrong format, in the wrong deck.
In the wrong city.
In the wrong city. Yeah. Just everything is wrong.
Everyone's fired.
In second place, Tyler Schmidt is running Burn. Good old modern Burn. In third place.
Is it Boros Burn?
No, well, maybe. I don't know. I didn't look. Is it Boros Burn?
It said Burn. How could you not look at that deck list? What's wrong with you?
Boros Charm, Lightning Helix. Yeah, of course it's Boros Burn.
Done.
It's modern.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. You never know. Somebody could go crazy.
Yeah, they might be running blue in it.
That would be insane. Why'd you do that?
In third place, Ian Jensen is running Decepticons, or Affinity, if you must call it that.
It's at least as much as meets the eye.
Greater
than or equal to what meets the eye.
Not the one that's in Boston still.
No,
that one's still in Boston. Waiting on delicious guacamole. I don't actually like guacamole, but my wife does, and she tells me it's very good.
And it is. In fourth place, Jacob Mackey was running Jeskai Control with one Nahiri the Harbinger in there just to mess with you.
I mean, it messes with me.
See? In fifth place, Josh Turner is running Humans. You know, because why play one Thalia when you can play both Thalias?
Am I right?
Twice
approve.
The price.
It is twice. No, I'm sorry. No, that's Thalia's lieutenant. Oh, my bad. No, it's just original Thalia, the honorary goblin.
Yeah, you don't want to play two of those at once either. You're just messing up.
Yeah, that was my bad. Excuse me. In sixth place, Blue Moon by...
I saw you standing alone.
Thank you. Yeah, by, let's say, Bill? Any idea?
No, I wasn't running that. I'm going to get it wrong, though, so let's just go with Junjie Choi.
Yeah,
that works. Apologies. But
we know we're wrong.
Yeah, it's Blue Moon. Got the Kiki-Jiki Pester Mite Deceiver Exarch thing going there, too.
Now with Jace the Mind Skull.
Yay, in Modern. He's broken the format. Oh, my God.
Singleton Destruction.
In 7th place, CJ Steele is running Scapeshift. Yup. And in 8th, Kelsey Dixon was running Eldrazi Tron.
Nothing but light cycles and tentacles as far as the eye can see.
I am never going to go into your computer.
Nope. Please delete your browser history. All right, so that was the top 8 of the Modern Open. Looking through the top 16, there's Living End, more Decepticons, more humans. There's the Mardu Pyromancer deck. I was wondering where that would pop up. More humans, Titan Shift, a Blue-Red Breach.
Oh, look at 21st.
Bogles, I'm not there yet. Titan Shift again, Eldrazi Tron, Decepticons, Green-White Company. Throwing my phone in the floor because it was on my lap and I didn't realize it. Burn in 21st.
Burn!
There's a Death Shadow deck way down in 22nd. Ironworks combo in 23rd. Remember, that was a breakout at a recent Modern event.
I love breakout.
But it was, no. Arkanoid.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But anyway, the Ironworks combo was a breakout deck at a recent event, but it's very easily hated out, so it does not surprise me to not see it high on the list. And while we're here, we'll just keep looking. Bant Eldrazi, Mardu Pyromancer, more Burn, 8 Rack in 29th. More humans. There's a Jund in 31st, and a Grixis Death Shadow rounding out the top 32.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you mention Mardu Pyromancer?
I did, yeah. There's also Elves in 25th, which I completely missed.
Yeah, I noted that, but do you know who's in the Mardu Pyromancer deck?
Well, it's not Grizzleprint. Oh, yeah, it's got your boy, Young Peasy.
That's right, my favorite hip-hop artist, Young Peasy.
It's your boy. All right, so there was also a Modern Classic, because, you know how they do, playa.
Because you might have scrubbed out of the other Modern event.
Possibly. How many people?
And you got a Modern deck. Why not play some more?
192 people at this Modern Classic, and Mark Ballard won with Eldrazi Tron.
Nothing but never mind. My browser history's been deleted.
Thank you. Thank you. William Drescher in 2nd with Living End. Matthew Trowicki? Trowicki? I'm going to go with Trowicki. Because it's most like Witwicky. Playing humans. Wait, luckily, wait. Not playing Decepticons.
Really? That's where you're going with that?
Yeah. There's a 4th place, Austin Collins with Mono Green Tron. Humans in 5th by Christopher Vance. Burn in 6th.
Burn!
With Zachary Yellow. Mark Stekon. One of those is running Eldrazi Tron in 7th. And there's a Mono Green Tron in 8th. A lot of Tron in here. A
lot of Tron.
Yeah, it's half of them.
Half of this is Tron-y. Kind of Tron-ish.
Lots and lots of computer graphics before that was really a thing we could do well.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not Legacy.
Yep, it is not Tron Legacy.
Let's see. Just the rest of the top 16 and Esper not, Control.
Not even going to acknowledge the joke that was set up there and spiked. That was...
No, you guys nailed it. So I was just going to move on.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It was like, you have to witness this.
I was just sure you noticed.
Oh, yeah, I'm
tired.
There. I got it.
And I don't notice a lot of stuff.
So the rest of the top 16, an Esper Control, a Merfolk, Blue Goblins, a Blue-Red Gift Storn. Part of the Storn deck.
Yeah, that's the German version, right?
It is, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Jund in 12th, Ad Nauseam in 13th, White-Blue Turns in 14th, Colorless Eldrazi 15th.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
A Black-Red Hollow One in 16th. So, yeah, there you go. That was your Modern Classic.
Excellent. You know what would make this event even better?
Tron Legacy?
No, if we already covered that one.
Oh, right.
If they had a Legacy event. Maybe it's got Tron in it. Who knows?
Whoa.
Let's find out. 128 players were playing the king of all formats, but they couldn't make it all the way out to Seattle for the GP. So here they are. And in first place, Kyle Cosmel, I just love you, buddy, because you're playing elves and you took it down. Way to go.
Nice.
Way to go. Was there a crater hoof in there? Please tell me there was a crater hoof in there. Hoof, there it is. Look at it.
Two of them.
Oh, look at it.
And Deathrite Shaman, because...
Well, I mean, it, of course, because, I mean, yeah. If you're going to run... If you're going to run elves, you may as well have
forests.
The one mana elvish planeswalker. Let's just put him in there. In second place, Philip Beyer doesn't need any capital letters in his name because he's got Abzan Maverick on his side. So it's that. I suspect if we look at that deck that it's fairly similar to the. Yep. Okay. Yep. Sort of fire and ice. Yep. There it is. Pokey stick. Yep. There it is.
Yeah, still no Batter Skulls.
Yep, still no Batter Skulls, because we don't need them. We're just going to leave them over there with our Sensei's Divining Top, because nobody likes that. In third place, Michael Wagner is playing Death and Taxes, which are the only things that are sure. Allison Warfield in fourth with some Sultai Delver. Sultai Delver, that man, those words... Nails on a chalkboard for me. Fifth place, Leo Casper is playing Storm. It is Ant. I'm not even going to look at it. It's Ant.
I mean, the odds are that it's Ant.
No, I actually looked at it a minute ago. It's totally Ant.
Oh, okay.
In sixth place, Michael Finnegan really wants to get down very fast. It's turbo depths, see? Getting down depths. Wow. Quickly.
Yeah, I'm just leaving this one to you, buddy.
Long way to go for that joke. Seventh place, Joshua Collier is playing Grixis Delver. At least it's got red, question mark. In eighth place, Eric Schwamberger. Schwamberger.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I got that right. Knows what you're thinking and is going to tell you all about it. It's Omnitel, because he's omniscient.
Wow, it's been a while since we've seen one of those finish high,
wants
too.
Wants to show you some stuff. Yeah, actually it is. That's an excellent point. And I like that Star City Games, if you hover over their cards, don't force you to the artwork for the masterpieces. That's what I'll say. Because their force of will is it's just force of will. It's not crazy bird god force of will.
I just appreciate that the video doesn't autoplay anymore.
Oh, it autoplayed for me.
I was going to say it will. It will.
Yeah, just give it time. It's coming. Outside of the top eight, we got some Grixis Delver. Alurin in 10th. Huh. Look at that. Pair of Grixis Delvers in 11th and 12th. Some Infect. We've got a cream for that now in 13th. Some Black-Red Reanimator in 14th. Grixis Delver in 15th.
Oh, dear God.
And in 16th. A completely different game. Someone just showed up playing, let's say Hearthstone, because it's similar but not the same. It is Manaless Dredge in 16th place.
Wow. Manaless
also, how late are we into the recording for the first Hearthstone reference? It's been a while since we clocked that.
And it was time. Clues. And that
it's
was
my
at,
fault.
At 42 minutes almost
my
on
fault.
The dot.
Yeah, there it is.
For those of you listening at home, see what time it is, and then you'll know how much gets cut out in silence truncation.
That's right. Or actually, just write down what time it actually is right now where you are. Write that down on a piece of paper. Put it in your bag or your pocket. Weeks from now, I want you to find it and ask, why did I write down 7:23?
Well, you just messed with one person. Good job.
I did. But man, they're not going to like that at all. Okay. So there you go. Oh, I like the Ashen Rider in the Manaless Dredge, but that's just because Ashen Rider is pretty cool.
Basically, everything about this deck freaks me out.
It should, because let's see. Creatures. We have 44 creatures. Spells. We have 16 spells.
Yeah, this is...
That's it. We're done.
Like that deck that someone makes before you teach them how to play the game.
Yeah.
And then it turns out it works really well.
Right. Yeah, I didn't put in any of those lands because I liked all these creatures. I didn't.
That art wasn't,
them.
You know, engaged enough.
Yeah, and they're like, "Well, you're gonna need." Wait, no, I guess you're. Oh, you're. Okay.
I like to think that the land stack just took these lands away, and it just shrugged.
So if you take a Manaless Dredge deck and a lands deck and you shuffle them together and then divide them into two piles of 60 cards, you have two normal decks.
I mean, I don't know if they're normal, but yeah.
Somebody out there who has a Manaless Dredge deck and a lands deck sleeved in the same sleeves, go do this with a friend. Shuffle them, put 60 to each player, and just play. Don't look at them ahead of time. I just want to see how it goes. send us a tweet. Let us know how it went down.
So am I stupid?
I'm not answering that.
I can't figure out how this deck starts.
Manaless Dredge. Okay, how are we going to start? Oftentimes...
So I understand the point is to, like, get things in your graveyard that you can then use...
Yes.
To get other things back.
As I understand it, the number one way to start Manaless Dredge is to be on the draw and not play a card.
Because I'm not seeing...
Yeah. I'm serious about that, by the way. That's not me being facetious here.
Like, I see lots of things that care about being in the graveyard, but no free way.
it's I'm on the draw. I will draw for turn, move to end step, place this card in my graveyard.
Like, you can cycle Street Wraith and you can cast Gataxian Probe, but those... yeah, because it's not magic, so I just can't... My brain refuses to see it.
You can't even, right?
You're correct. Like, not even.
Yep.
Anyway. Because, like, in a normal Dredge deck, you've got things that... Like, to discard things for free. You know, bazaars and whatnot. Maybe not in... Is that legal in Legacy?
I'm sorry, is what legal in Legacy?
The bazaar?
Bazaar of Baghdad?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Oh, Jesus, if we did that, we would have nothing but Dredge as far as the eye could see.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of...
You're thinking Vintage here.
I'm thinking Vintage, then, excuse me. That's why I asked, because when I said it out loud, I'm like, I don't think
that's
right. Yeah,
no, no.
Oof, I feel like
Oh, yeah, we're not... Ooh, no, no, no.
Anyway, all right, that was way too long.
But yeah, you pretty much just draw your card, you pass the turn, you chuck it. You never mulligan.
Yeah, you can't mulligan. This deck...
I guess now you can mulligan once under the Scry rule, but past that, you can't, right?
What, no.
No, that
no, because you're still not a card. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You just don't do it. No.
Yeah, so if you've ever said to yourself, you know, I mulligan too much, I need to find a deck that I don't mulligan as much... Guess you could do this. Don't. Yeah, that's what I say. Don't. And look, I understand people enjoy their Dredge, and that's fine. Go right ahead. It is just not my cup of tea.
You are welcome to continue playing Kaijudo at the Magic table.
No second main phase for you.
Anyway, that was way too
Again,
long
ask,
on a deck that's
ask
not
your,
magic.
Ask your parents.
Correct. Yeah, so that is tournament. Hooray.
Hooray!
Go Magic.
There was magic to be had. Some people played it. Congratulations to all the winners. And, you know, congratulations to everyone who came out and played. I hope you had a good time. Maybe met some artists.
And congratulations to Ganyan for making Grand Prix history.
Making history, yeah.
Which is sick. Oh my god, it's so sick. So then, there's really nothing else that we could find to talk about other than...
Meanwhile,
Dominaria.
In other news...
Yeah, there is no other news, as far as we can tell.
Lots of Dominaria.
Lots of Dominaria, and there's so much Dominaria.
Oh, and I can't wait to see the art on this card, because I heard some guys in a pod... some dorks on a podcast talking about it.
The art?
Yeah, the art on this card right here. Oh, it's in the show notes.
Did you not click on the link in the...
No, I was listening to the podcast I drove. In the cab, apparently.
Oh.
And I couldn't see it. That is some sick art. Man, look at that.
Would you like to talk to the people who can't see it?
Oh, wait. There are people? Is this being recorded?
Hey, Chewy, do you want to tell people what this card is, or you got that out of your system?
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, Mike did the honors on the show. So, the Mana Pool had its first, well, its second preview card, but its first ever not a reprint preview card. And it was awesome. Hey, Clues, you want to see...
Yeah.
Never mind, I was going to ask if you wanted to see the art smaller, but apparently I didn't actually save it as a proper file.
Okay, well then, no, I do not want to see. I'll tell you what, I'll lean away from my monitor.
Not smaller. I meant...
Yep, it's smaller.
I hate you.
I hate me too.
Oh, I saved the PSD file. I didn't export it. So, during the episode of the Mana Pool, I actually said out loud, I really wish they had sent me the art. So that I could use it to make a sweet thumbnail or something. And Mike goes, why don't you ask? And I was like, yeah. So during the episode, while the other three were talking, I sent out an email to Blake, and Blake goes, oh yeah, sure. Here you go. And he sent it to me. So I got to make the sweet thumbnail. But yeah, this art, when you blow it up, I'm actually just going to send it to my co-host here in the Discord. No, that's Steph. Don't send it to Steph. Steph will be like, that's neat, because Steph doesn't play Magic.
So, you know, the best part about this is that the people at home, if they haven't listened to the Mana Pool, have absolutely no idea what card we're talking about at all, because we haven't said its name yet.
And I find that hilarious.
I hope they do, too.
I'll teach you to go listen to the Mana Pool.
Also, you should go listen to the Mana Pool. It's a pretty good show.
That is pretty nifty.
That is nifty.
Yeah, if you actually click open original, it should be even bigger. Okay, maybe just a little bit. But wow. Yeah, so the Mana Pool's preview card was Evra Halcyon Witness. And it was so cool. It is a, let's see, can I do this from memory, for 4 white-white?
Correct.
It's a 4/4 legendary creature avatar.
Correct. What's its rarity?
It's a rare.
It is.
It has lifelink.
It does.
And for 4 generic mana, you exchange your life total with Evra Halcyon Witness's power. And dear Brian, I love him to death.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's repeat that sentence, because not everybody gets it the first time through.
Exchange your life total with Evra Halcyon Witness's power. And it has lifelink. And dear Brian, because I didn't show it to the dorks until we were literally live and recording, they saw it for the first time and reacted appropriately live on the podcast. Brian's brain erased the word exchange, and I don't exactly know exactly what he thought.
He thought it was more, you've just set it. Set your life total to Evra's.
Ah, yeah, okay, that's what he was thinking.
I could see him... Yeah, taking that as it becomes, rather than exchange places, which is, you know, the wording.
Yeah. So Brian was like, yeah, so if you're at 3, then... And we're like, why did you go so small? And he's like, well, because otherwise it's dumb. We're like, and then it clicked, and he's like, oh my god! And Brian blew his own mind right there on the show. But yeah, so and the first time I read it, I missed that it had lifelink, so I was like, oh, exchange your life total, that's cool. But no, it has lifelink. So if you're at 20 and you use that ability, then Evra's power becomes 20, and then you deal damage with her, and now you're at 24.
And she's still at 20.
And yeah.
Yeah, and it's not exchange until end of turn. It's just exchange. Just do this thing.
It feeds on itself remarkably well.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I really appreciate the fact that from the art, it kind of looks like, you know, the normal Magic avatar concept, which is that you, the player, are doing something. Well, in this case, you, the player, have just achieved the avatar state and are about to wreck stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It looks really pretty. And in terms of cards, there's a ton of nonsense that you can do with this that we don't need to go into, because I'm sure that the Mana Pool spent plenty of time talking about it, and we're not going to duplicate efforts.
But we actually spent 19 minutes on this card and its flavor and other cards you can use with it and teaching Brian to read.
Did you have to remind people that Fling is in the format?
It is?
I believe so.
Holy crap, Fling is in the format?
There's no way.
Wasn't it added in a recent set? Let me confirm, I'm not just making stuff up. But
I think you're making stuff up.
Hey, look, last week I made stuff up and then it came true.
It's like from Amonkhet.
Yeah, so. But you knew already.
Oh, I'm God. Pretending that I didn't.
Oh, yeah, see, it is in the format, but not for long?
I mean, for the next 6 months?
That'd be a hell of a combo right there.
Oh, I hadn't seen this card before. Oh, we're going to have to talk about that card.
You've never seen Fling before?
No, not Fling. I've totally seen Fling before. You goober.
Oh my god.
Everyone at home, I hate my co-hosts.
What card are you talking about, Clues?
Look, I just happen to be scrolling through the card image gallery, because are we going to move on to another card? Because I've got one I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure, go for it.
You'll never guess what color it is.
Red.
It is red. You'll never guess what kind of a creature it is.
Goblin chain whirler.
It's totally Goblin Chain Whirler. Have you seen this guy?
Yeah.
Oh my god, he's so cool.
Yeah. You were obviously the first person I thought about when I read it, and I was like, yup.
Holy crap. He's red, 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 but I'm playing mono red anyway. Why not?
Yeah.
He's red, red, red for a Goblin Warrior. He's rare. He's a 3-3. He's got first strike, a 3-3 with first strike for 3, who's a goblin. It's great. But when he enters the battlefield, he deals 1 damage to each opponent and each creature and planeswalker they control. Take that, all those guys on the other side of the battlefield, because I got a chain and I'm spinning it.
Yeah, yeah, seems good.
I like this card a lot.
I would not have guessed that.
Oh, man. Card is sweet.
It's even more fun when you start putting it in decks that can give things death touch.
That sounds wonderful. This guy needs a Basilisk Collar.
I don't think you can equip it fast enough.
Yeah, you can't equip it fast enough. How are we going to do? Well, wait a minute. That is a triggered ability. If we can equip it somehow at instant speed, if we can attach the Basilisk Collar.
There are entire decks that do that. I'm sure it'll be fine.
At instant speed.
Lean and Shikari?
Yeah, there are Boros artifact decks that do that kind of stuff.
Lean and Shikari was the first one that lets you do that at instant speed, though, right?
Probably.
I think so. Anyway, so yeah, did you see the goblin revealed today?
No.
At least I think it was today.
At least I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, it's right there. It's Skirk Prospector.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Hey, wait a minute. Why isn't Warchief in here? I thought that was officially revealed.
It was sort of like casually mentioned in an article on the mothership.
Okay, so
it hasn't been officially revealed.
It still doesn't appear here. So it's still just a fever dream. Okay, thanks. Yes, Skirk Prospector. That's awesome news.
No, it was in the same article that showed, was it the Chain Whirler? I don't know. It was on Tuesday, because we joked last week. Because Clues knew that the Warchief was getting reprinted. And I didn't, because I didn't look at the release notes cards at all. But
no, let's be clear. I knew and didn't say anything.
Yeah, Bill knew
Clues
and didn't see
speculated
anything.
About it and then figured it out while we were talking.
No. Yeah, Clues had heard it, but he couldn't remember where.
Yeah, Clues was like, because at first he's like, the chieftain. And I'm like, no, that's not it. And he goes, well, must be the war chief then. I'm like, no, they're not going to reprint that. And Bill was over there biting his lip because Bill knew they were going to reprint that.
Yeah.
Clues had seen
I was
they
trying
were
to segue into talking about Squee for some reason, and Clues just went off with this tangent.
Yeah, I'm sorry. By the way, the Skirk Prospector, which let's just talk about him for folks who don't know Skirk Prospector. How do you not know Skirk Prospector? What's with you kids today and your rock and roll music and
all
getting
right, Clues,
off my
lawn? Get to the point.
He is a 1/1 goblin for 1, and he has the following ability: sacrifice a goblin, add red to your mana pool. They might have left that part is really small, the to your mana pool. It's hard to read, but it's totally there. It's totally there. He's great because you got goblins that you want to sacrifice to get yourself some mana so you can cast other goblins. We got you covered. Totally got you covered. New artwork, by the way. Pretty sweet new artwork.
He was actually one of the engines for an old combo deck back before. What is the name? The green, single green, whenever a creature enters the battlefield this turn, draw a card?
Oh, what was that spell? Was that?
I can see the art, but I can't think of the damn name.
Glimpse of Nature?
Glimpse of Nature. Back before, I think that's right. I'm pretty sure.
Somebody. I think that's the card you're thinking of.
Bill?
Sorry, I was thinking, and it turned out I was thinking of Fecundity, which is similar, but not the same.
So, could you check to make sure?
Yeah, I'm checking now. Thank you. Single green sorcery. Whenever you play a creature spell this turn, draw a card. Or yes. Whenever you cast one now, but, you know, old card.
So a long time ago, before Glimpse of Nature shot up in value because it was, you know, a legacy card, back when it was worthless, I acquired
it goes in Cheerios.
Yeah. I acquired 4 of them for, like, no dollars.
You can build Cheerios.
And I can't. I don't have enough of the zero cost things.
But they're cheap, man. You got any pocket change? You can get them for pocket change.
I assembled this deck that was, I think it had Fecundity in it too. And the Goblin Sharpshooter, who's not a sharpshooter. He's a machine gunner.
He is a machine gunner.
You know, whatever. And the whole deck was Goblin Sharpshooter to ping things, Skirk Prospector to make mana and draw cards from Fecundity, and Glimpse of Nature to draw more cards, so that once you got the Prospector, the Fecundity, and a Glimpse, you just won with a never-ending stream of mana and goblins, unless you hit a clump of land, and then you were very, very sad. Not to mention you have all these goblins that you can poke with until you get the combo going. And it was really, really silly, but it was a lot of fun in one-on-one games, which was a rarity back then. This is, you know, in college when I would routinely play with 4, 5, 6, 7 other people. So yeah, the Skirk Prospector has a special place in my heart because it was one of the only like combo decks that I ever built and enjoyed.
Now, what I don't know is where was this card actually previewed? Because it's not yet in the official gallery. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it a couple of other places, but no one has told me where it actually came from.
Skirk Prospector?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on the front page. It's from Masters of Modern.
Ah, okay. So it was an article today on the Mothership.
No, but it's a link on the front page.
It's a link on the front page. Okay.
Masters of Modern podcast. Also, link to the Mana Pool podcast. It also weirds me out, though, the art that they used on the Skirk Prospector link here is actually the Siege Gang Commander art.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, ha! But anyway. So yeah, with Skirk Prospector and Warchief and Siege Gang Commander and, I guess, Chain Whirler? Is that his name?
Yes, Chain Whirler.
Is it possible that we'll see some kind of goblin deck going on in Standard?
God, I hope so.
Squee, squee.
Now then, I gotta see Goblin, Chain Whirler. What's this? 129? 132. Warchief's gotta go in there. There is room for Goblin Matron and Goblin Pile Driver.
Just gonna sit back and hope those get printed too.
Yeah, they're not.
In between, look, I said it out loud. It's gonna happen. In between Chain Whirler and Jaya Ballard. In between Goblin Chain Whirler and Jaya Ballard, we've got 30, 31, and 32. We know one is Warchief, even though they won't say it out loud, apparently. But we could still fit Pile Driver and Matron. And then I'm a modern player.
Oh, my God.
Live the dream. While we're on Red, do you want to talk about the Big Dumb Dragon?
There's a Big Dumb Dragon?
I haven't seen the Big Dumb Dragon.
Oh, hey, look, a Big Dumb Dragon.
Yeah.
Well, what's it do then? You're so smart.
Varric's Bladewing. 2 red for a 4/4 legendary creature, Mythic Dragon. Seems legit.
Oh, it's another Bladewing.
Yeah. So this is a 4/4 flyer for 4. I mean, that's pretty acceptable.
Yeah.
But wait, there's Kicker 3. So for a total of 7 mana. When Varric's Bladewing enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, create Karrick's Bladewing, a legendary 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying. So they've sort of made a broodmate Bladewing combo here.
Huh.
If you're willing to pay for it.
Oh, it's actually 2 more Bladewings.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot of Bladewings.
Which means there's probably a Bladewing token.
Rorix was the original, and then Rorix was dead, but he came back.
As you do.
As Bladewing the Risen. And then there was the Future Sight one. I cannot remember his name, though. That's okay, though. I can go advanced search. Bladewing search. Bladewing the Risen, Bladewing's Thrall, Rorix, Terox.
Terox,
so,
yeah.
Rorix, Terox, and now we have Varric and Karrox. Well, the naming conventions are there in this family, I guess.
Yeah, eventually they will actually just create Xerox, and Xerox Bladewing will come with a clone of himself, and Legend Rule will be very sad. But in the meantime, hey, look, it's a double dragon.
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
That's what they used to call the broodmate dragon.
I don't think I ever heard it called that, which is really weird.
That's what they called it at the stores that I went to. They were just like, it's double dragon because you get 2 dragons. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. Although in this case, it involves being kicked, so it's not like you just blink it and get a free dragon.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that was a bit much. But hey. Yeah, so do you guys want to hit any other cards, or You want to let the Manifold deal with that?
Have you seen that artwork on Clifftop Retreat?
Clifftop Retreat.
It's down in Lands. Look at that.
Ooh.
That is gorgeous.
That is. That's a big-ass angel mountain carving thing.
Thing, yeah.
That's for red and white.
Boros.
Yeah, I'm good with talking about more things or not, since that's what we're going to do on the mana pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, look, the set looks great. It looks absolutely great. I'm really stoked. It's flavorful. There's a lot of synergies. There's a lot of tribal stuff. There's goblins. You had me at goblins.
Okay, well, there is one that I want to talk about before we escape. And right. That is, go click on colorless.
All right, yes.
There's only one card.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But look at him.
He's not a Death Star anymore.
He's smaller now. He's got a picture of Archangel behind him. It's Karn, the Scion of Urza. And he only costs 4 generic mana now. Look at him. He got smaller. Slimmed down.
No longer Death Star.
No longer. Although he does have a globe that he might crush. Kind of doubt it.
I hope he throws it.
That'd be cool. Yeah, it's that stupid globe in the Overwatch spawn room that we stand on.
I thought awesome. It was the 3D rendering of the Dominaria map.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's probably what it actually is.
Yeah, it's the one that Aaron sent us, yeah.
Well, they made a card out of that really fast, so yeah. Awesome. But yeah, so your 4-mana Karn starts 5 loyalty and is +1. Reveal the top 2 cards of your library. An opponent chooses one of them, put that card into your hand, and exile the other with a silver counter on it. Keep that in mind. -1. Put a card you own with a silver counter on it from exile into your hand. So you're giving them fact, and then you're taking the fiction. You get both, eventually. And -2, create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control. So this is a Karn who doesn't have a big ability. He's just got 3 good abilities.
Yeah, yeah, seems good. Yeah.
He slices, he dices.
He doesn't blow up the world, or hopefully
cause he doesn't games. Restart the game.
Yeah, cause games to restart on Magic Online.
I don't think there will need to be a specific rule added to the comp rules just to deal with him. So that's refreshing.
It is.
I mean, yeah, there's already some kind of precedent for cards in exile having counters, right?
Maybe. Yes.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
They're suspend, so yeah.
I was going to totally say.
Oh, you're right, yeah, that counts. Because yeah. They're technically floating out in exile when they're doing that. You're right. Cool. So yeah, I just thought that was neat, that we have a Karn that is much lower on the curve and capable of doing stuff. But also not a whole lot of board interaction until you start making constructs.
There was a YouTube comment? Twitter comment? I think it was a YouTube comment. Hang on. Yeah. Keith Moody commented on the Mana Pool's, the video version of the Mana Pool episode with Evra in it. And he said, heading into the second week of spoilers, this set needs to calm the F*** he actually typed F*** down. Did Spinal Tap take control of the power scaling in R&D? I responded simply with, these go to 11. But yeah, this set seems like, not only is it flavorful and nifty and poking on all the right buttons to make you go, huh, but it also seems powerful.
This feels like the level of power that normally is followed by a set that's dialed way down.
Hey, good news, core set's coming back.
Yeah. Like, really and truly, they really pushed for this to be important, and they wanted it to, and it shows. But I'm going to have a hard time opening a pack of the set and not being excited about the rare. Like, these are good, and I'm kind of glad that I didn't invest heavily in the rest of Standard.
Like, hell, even the uncommons are just neat.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, hey, Clues.
Yes, sir.
So scroll to black, the top of black.
Scroll to black.
Okay, are you at the top of black?
I am.
Okay, now scroll up one more row.
Do I have to?
Yes, and look at that first card there on the left.
Do I have to?
Yes.
I'm sorry, my browser won't scroll up.
I don't believe you.
My browser will not scroll up and show me the card that has totally obsoleted cancel?
No, not totally.
What do you mean not totally? Okay, I suppose not totally. Wait. So you want to talk about unwind?
Yeah.
Why do you want to talk about unwind?
Because this is a thing that they shouldn't do anymore.
This is a thing that they should not do, no. Unwind 2 and a blue for an instant, so you know it's awful and you hate everyone involved. Counter target non-creature spell. Untap up to 3 lands.
Yeah, they're not supposed to do that anymore.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the untap up to however many lands mechanic in the... was that Urza Block? That was Urza Block. Right?
I believe so.
It was during the time when I wasn't playing, so all of that tends to run together.
It's a broken old mechanic. It was probably Urza Block.
Hang on, let me just search for untap up to. And... Okay, I'm getting too many. I'm getting way too many things. Oh, good lord. Why are there so many things that say untap up to?
Because it's probably talking about creatures.
It must be. Okay, here we go. Snap. Yeah, Snap was in Urza Block. So that was what I was looking for. Time Spiral was in Urza Block. Treachery was in Urza Block.
Yeah, the mechanic is do a blue thing and then you're not tapped out. And yeah,
which is fine when all lands create one mana.
Not fine.
Okay, which is passable when all lands create one mana.
It essentially makes a free thing, and free things are not a good idea.
But it's a free thing you had to be able to pay for in the first place, so it was all right. But the problem is, all lands don't make one mana.
No.
Lots of lands make more than one mana, so...
Or do things.
So when you unwind and untap up to 3 lands, you know, you might be untapping your 3 Trons and getting absolute mana. So luckily, I think it's narrow enough, counter target non-creature spell. I think it'll be fine. But when I saw untap up to 3 lands, my brain came to a screeching halt. I heard the sound of glass shattering, you know.
And Did you roll some metal dice on a glass
tabletop? Apparently, yeah. But that just blew me away.
One thing that's kind of funny about it is that they don't have to be your lands. So if you're playing a group game or a political game or, you know, two-headed giant, you can untap your partner's lands.
Oh, that's really funny.
So there's a lot to play with there. But yeah, the main takeaway from this is that this is a common. So
this is a common?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hell?
So this is a thing that people may actually run in their limited decks to just be aware of. Normally you don't run too many things that can't counter creatures in limited, but there's not a lot of downside here if you have anything else to do with your mana. I mean, if you do have, if you've got nothing else to do and it's like your only instant, then no, it's probably not going to be very good. But on the same note, go into combat, counter their trick, play a creature stuck in main phase, still pretty good. Like, expect to run into it a bit.
Did we talk about Lyra Dawnbringer on the show? Okay, so long ago, I decided to make a an Angels commander deck. And it's got Avacyn, Angel of Hope, the original Avacyn, the one that makes like all your stuff indestructible.
Indestructible Avacyn.
Yeah, it's Indestructible Avacyn. I made the deck because Indestructible Avacyn came out and there was a card called World Slayer that blew up everything. And I thought, this is hilarious. Let me see if I can make this work. The answer is usually no. And when you can, everyone hates you and everything you've ever done.
That is what World Slayer does.
So it's successful as a commander deck. So I have a mono white Angels commander deck. And when I heard the text on Lyra Dawnbringer, I'm like, yeah, I totally need one of those. That's a great card for this deck. And then I saw the artwork and I said, oh my God, that is so gorgeous. I need a foil one of these in my Angels deck. Because have you looked at that art?
Yeah, dude. It is completely insane.
It is insane. It's Chris Ran, and it's amazing. Holy crap. But the card itself, I suppose we should mention the card itself. Lyra Dawnbringer, 3 white, so 5 mana for a 5/5 legendary creature angel. With flying, first strike, lifelink, and other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink.
That's going to be your limited bomb, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, it's a mythic, I should mention.
Yeah.
Shocker.
That'll be probably one of the breakout limited bombs. It does a lot.
A thing I pointed out on the mana pool, 3WW, 5/5, flying, first strike, lifelink, angel. Does that remind you of anything?
It does. Protection from dragons and demons, I think, comes to mind.
Yeah. It's got a very Baneslayer vibe to it.
Yeah. Sure does.
So, all right, Chewy. I want you to read the flavor text out loud.
Okay. You are not alone. You never were.
Now I want you to read the flavor text out loud in Reaper's voice.
You are not alone. You never were.
You see how the tone shifts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, is this one of those happy angels or is this one of those Innistrad horror angels? It's cool. It's a Dawnbringer. You're fine. But just think about that. Angels are intimidating in Magic.
What's because they're all badass.
Yeah.
Even the stupid ones that will kill you.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I love the new Sarah Angel art right below it.
Yeah, that's really nice too.
Donato Giancola just crushed it.
Yeah.
And the flavor text on it.
I appreciate the mixture of angels and bird clerics here.
Oh, yes. It's great.
Yeah, there's just feathers everywhere. We're never going to get all the feathers out of our deck boxes. But the new flavor text on Sarah Angel is, the angel remembers her past lives like dreams. Her song held up meadows. Her blade drove back darkness. Her wings carried her across the ages. Oh.
Yeah, like, if this were the last Magic set, it'd be, like, cool.
Yeah, I would be like, well, I mean, it couldn't get much better, right?
I am going to need people to open, like, just a crap ton of Dominaria, because the pre-sale prices for both Lyra Dawnbringer and Shalai, Voice of Plenty, both of which need to go into my Angels deck, are way, way too high.
You can't put Shalai in your Angels deck.
Why not?
Is your Angels deck mono white?
Yeah. Shalai, Voice of Plenty is white.
Got some green.
Color identity of white green.
Oh, it's got green on it.
Yeah.
I only read the top part and I'm like, that's so wicked sweet. I gotta go see.
Somebody's gotta go get Sigarda now.
Oh, I've got a Sigarda, but it's a mono white deck.
It was.
I even made all my planes different, so it's truly a singleton deck.
Ooh, nice.
You just saved Clues some money.
Man.
I'm helping. The first time he played that, someone would be like, you can't play that. Why not? It's got more things on it. Well, I was never going to do that.
Pretty sure.
Not in your mono white deck, you're not.
I'll just put a piece of tape over that, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be on the sleeve. Don't worry. I won't ruin the card. I guess I'll put some bird clerics in.
Settling.
Lord. Can we? Should we?
Fine, I'll get my bird cleric.
Should we stop now?
Yeah, we should. Probably. There's a million more amazing cards. Go listen to Maniple.
Yeah, go play some Magic.
Oh my god, they're so good. Even stupid common reprints, like the Fire Elemental being reprinted in red, made me go, oh, I remember that card. I used to love that card.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Is this the one that I think it fire?
Juggernaut? Yeah, it's in there.
What? No, not, I saw that, but no. Alpha Fire Elemental. It is the one with the, well, the hot chick. No pun intended. But that's not why I liked it when I was a kid, but it certainly helped. But, you know, it was a 5-mana 5/4, which now is laughable. But at the time, I was like, oh man, a 5-mana 5/4, that's pretty awesome. Is this really time it's been printed since, what is that, 13? Yeah, M13?
7th? M13, yeah.
Yeah, 7th edition, and then it was printed again way later in M13.
Yeah, Magic Art was different back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just glad that Jai Ballard got to put flavor text in other cards.
Oh, hey, look, I didn't even see that. The best way to learn from a book on pyromancy is to burn it. Jai Ballard.
Never change, Jaya.
Not sure I agree with that sentiment, but yeah.
I'm not arguing with her. She's scary.
Yeah, don't argue with Jaya.
You do you, badass grandma. Anyway. All right, then. So, let us wrap this episode up.
That sounds wise.
Wait, is there any magic online stuff?
Just two things. So you guys know the yada yada on Magic Online. Things are posted Tuesdays. We're a week late. If you want to keep up, go to the Wizard website, go to products, go to Magic Online, and click on the article that comes out Tuesdays. The only things I really want to mention are that Brawl is hitting Magic Online on April 18th. So if you're looking to play that online, this will be your chance. It'll be popping up. So cool.
Oh, cool.
And we have a bug blog update, which only has a few little things on it. So first up, in general, if cards are moved between areas, this is so weird. If cards are moved between areas, each in a different sort order, they may not be sorted correctly in the second area, which who cares? Sorting cards.
I'll say, but I bet if you just resort that area, they'll go right.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
More importantly, if a commander is targeted with Hostage Taker and sent to its owner's command zone instead of exile, it can still be cast by Hostage Taker's controller.
Whoops.
Which is just funny. That's just funny to me. It's like, aha, I'm going to just send him back over. You're like, yeah, whatever, dude. He's on lease. I'm a cast it. So that's funny. And Nazan Revered Bladesmith will sometimes give the equipment it finds to another player's hand.
Whoops.
That's messed up. That's cold.
You can't do that.
That's some Hearthstone right there. Because in Magic, your cards never go into someone else's hand.
Yeah, that's not a thing, man.
Yeah, well, that's why he's revered, because he's so generous.
And then someone puts their hands on their hips and goes, Nazan! And he goes, and gives the sheepish grin and a shrug.
And then they laugh and we roll the credits, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. But, yeah, those are the only two things. The only reason I'm really hitting them here is because it's quick and short. In general, don't be surprised if we don't cover Magic Online as heavily or frequently in the future, because for the most part, it works now. And most of the news each week is me telling you to go look at the website because we're a week behind.
Yeah.
It'd be a little different if they made announcements on Monday, but most of these really just don't apply anymore. So if anything important happens, we'll obviously talk about it because it'll be news, but I may just ease back on throwing these things at you every week just to streamline the show. So there's your heads up. And that's what's relevant with Magic Online this week.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to try to streamline Monday Night Magic a little bit. Try to get it between an hour and an hour and a half every episode. Just so there's less nonsense. Like when we have more tournaments like today or more things happen, of course shows will go longer, but there's no reason we should ever have a 2-hour episode for nothing.
Yeah, like those should be, oh look, it's the 3 days of the year when Magic News all gets released at once. Or we're revising something critical that requires discussion at length. Most of the time, that's not the case.
Or, oh my God, did you see all these sick Dominaria cards?
Look, if they bring back Dominaria every year, we'll eventually stop doing this. But right now, we're all like, this is great.
That's the challenge, by the way.
Dominaria is the core set. Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, we're going to try to streamline it a little bit, so. Don't worry, there's still plenty of content. If you're looking to hear more of it, I know for a fact that Chewie does not actually ever stop talking. You just have to find him.
That's very true.
Yeah. So I guess we can roll into closeout time now.
By all means.
Cool. So you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because it's currently hanging out with Clues' Filter in Boston. Hopefully it doesn't succeed at getting guac because I really don't want guac in my eye. Pleasant. I don't appreciate it, but we'll see what happens.
Oh God, I think I've had guac in my eye before.
Oh, did you die?
That sounds awful.
I mean, obviously not, because no dying is the first rule. But yeah,
I mean, I'm glad you didn't break the rule, because that's not a good way to go.
That is awful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound appealing at all. But
I think like a chip, like someone stuck a chip in there and pulled it out, and it like it wouldn't. So the chip went in, and they tried to just dip some and pull it out, and it wouldn't come, so they like, huh, and they had to exert some effort. So it like snapped, which means guacamole sort of went everywhere.
Oh.
Which means eyeball.
That's terrible.
And yeah, you know how glasses? Guacamole has that kick to it when you put it in your mouth?
No, because I don't need it.
Really? Neither of you guys eat guacamole?
No, I'm not a fan of avocados, sorry.
Oh, well, either way, so those of you listening, you know how guacamole has that little kick to it? Yeah, it kicks you in the eye, too.
No, that's a critical hit.
Was that Scott?
Sounds painful.
I might have to go punch Scott.
In the eye?
In the eye.
With some guacamole gloves.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So anyway, the eye's in Boston, but next week I'm going to be in Chicago for a work thing. So I will unfortunately not be on Monday Night Magic next week, but I will probably be eating unhealthy pizza or something, and that'll be amazing.
So, hey, try not to get shot.
I mean, I'll be back next turn. It's all good.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, it's fine. It was only Gotham and like one third of that trilogy. It'll be fine. And it was the best third. So, you know, what could happen? Just stay off of boats. But yeah, it'll be fun. I'll be there, but that doesn't mean I'll be missing next week. So feel free to figure out what you're going to tweet at me without me understanding the context now. You've got a week to do it. Because I already know I'm not going to be there. Though that said, I will note beyond that I'm looking forward to Avengers coming up in a few weeks. I'm not looking at the trailers and the commercials on TV and all that because we're so close. But I'm getting that little bit of excitement now that all of the March movies are over and this is the big thing. So let's all hope this goes amazingly.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Black Panther for destroying records everywhere and overtaking Titanic because...
Dude, really?
Know. Yeah. Black Panther is now the third highest grossing movie in American history, I think. So
yeah, screw that. Paint me like your French girls.
Yeah. Yeah, so kudos to it. Yeah, that'll be it for me. Hand it over to Clues.
All right. Hey, if you want to hear more from me, there's another podcast I do. It is called Random Discard. You can find it at randomdiscard.com or right here on the MTGcast network. Other things, just got back from PAX East. Had a blast out in Boston. If you get a chance, go to a PAX. They're pretty great. Had a real good time playing some Commander with Bruce Richard and Adam Staborski. So that was pretty awesome. If you ever get a chance to play Commander with them, you totally should. That might not come up quite as much, but do it anyway, I guess is what I'll say. If you want to reach me directly, your best bet is Twitter. I'm at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. I should be here next Monday. I will probably have slept more, I think.
I don't think you could possibly have slept less.
I don't think that is possible, no. No. And I think that's it. The next sound you hear might be my head hitting the mic. Take it away, Chewy.
Okay, I was waiting to hear your head hit the mic, but maybe not. Oh my god. Anyway, so that just leaves me where, hey, over on the Manipool, we had our first ever never before seen preview card. Stupid release notes. When the email went out to content creators, he was like, so since, from Wizards, since the release notes were a thing, sorry about that, we're going to do previews as usual, but let me know if you would rather have something that hasn't been shown in the release notes, or if there are any specific cards that you want. You know, they're on a first-come, first-served basis. And so for Monday Night Magic, I was like, New Squee! Because I had been made aware immediately that there was a New Squee. I didn't know anything about it, I just knew there was one. Because, you know, we have Bill.
And my Twitter feed lit up, and I knew that there was a New Squee before I knew that there was a leak.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny. But we couldn't get that one, but we did get, I'm pretty sure it was the next best thing with Siege Game Commander, since we have Clues and Squee.
It makes sense. It's fair.
Yeah. But for the mana pool, all I said was, I don't care as long as it's something fun. Which I think, yeah. I think Evra Not Seeing Witness is pretty fun. So, nice. But I also asked if we were on a list or if I had to re-up with every set. And he said we're on a list now. So, hopefully that means we will continue getting preview cards on both shows. Which is pretty baller. Very excited. But other than that, this is a good week to be me. Let me just tell you. We are starting tomorrow. So probably today or yesterday or whenever, depending on when you listen to this. But on Tuesday, we're going to be playing Overwatch because the new PvE Overwatch thing happens. It's called Retribution. And they're also bringing back Uprising from last year, which is when my my love for Overwatch kicked into high gear. Because Uprising was so much fun, and Retribution looks like it will also be so much fun. So that'll be the stream on Tuesday. On Thursday, the new Hearthstone set comes out, so I will be opening probably 125 or so packs. Which is an insane number now that I've said it out loud, and it makes my head hurt just to think about, but I'll have to make sure I have lots of drink here, because my throat's going to go. It's going to be awful. So yeah, we don't get the new single-player stuff in Hearthstone for 2 weeks after the set comes out. Because last time, they released Kobolds and Catacombs, the previous set, and the Dungeon Run at the same time. And I barely played any Standard, because I was busy playing Dungeon Run. And I think they realized that that's probably not the best idea. So they're going to give us 2 weeks with the new set and then release the new single-player adventure thing. So good on them for that. So yeah, that's... And then we've got the Dominaria pre-release, I think the following weekend. There's just so much good stuff coming up. I'm dying here. Oh, and in Heroes of the Storm, they revealed that the next hero is Deckard Cain. You know, the stay a while and listen guy, which is hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Like, one of his heroic abilities is called stay a while and listen. Do you know
Does
what
it prevent people from leaving the space?
It puts them to sleep.
Yep.
In a wide arc in front of him. It puts just like Anna. I think Anna was the first put someone to sleep in Heroes of the Storm. Which it works That's just great. Like it does in Overwatch. So they can't move or anything until they take damage or a certain amount of time passes.
They're gonna listen.
So yeah, that's so great. I mean, I don't play support, so I won't play him, but it's so great that he exists. Like, I had to look at the date when they revealed it because I'm like, was this an April Fool's joke that I missed? Because Deckard Cain, really? And no, it is not an April Fool's joke. He's really the next hero. And that's awesome. So yeah, it's just a good time to be a dork. I saw Pacific Rim Uprising. I actually saw Pacific Rim for the first time finally last week. And it was awesome. And then I went to see Uprising, and it was fun. Nowhere near as good as the first one on basically any level. But it was still giant robots fighting giant monsters and was awesome. So I don't care if it was cinematic. I can't.
It checks the box that it needed to check, which was has giant robots fighting giant monsters.
Yeah, pretty much. Also John Boyega. So, hey, there's another check right there. So, yeah, hopefully I'll go see Ready Player One soon. And then that thing that Bill was talking about. I finished The Punisher on Netflix. That's a bummer. Such a bummer. The show, not the fact that I finished it. And I already started Jessica Jones season 2, finally. I've watched 2 episodes of that. That's really good thus far. I'm already sucked in. As a matter of fact, I might go watch another 1 or 2 tonight. Yeah. Probably. But anyway, that's what I've been up to. But you can find me all over the internet as the Manapool on Twitter. That's where I tweet about things all the time. I do most of my activity on Twitter. The YouTube channel is The Manapool, where it's been The Walking Dead Telltale Game. I finished chapter 2 of that. All of those went up. So I need to stream the next chapter now before a year passes. That game's a bummer. That game's depressing as hell, but it's so well done that I'm going to keep doing it. Also Hearthstone stuff. Probably some Overwatch once we play that. That'll go up on the YouTubes. Yeah, hell yeah. And then on Twitch, where, as I've already said, I'm streaming Overwatch and Hearthstone. And I stream other stuff too, like The Walking Dead. And whatever else comes to mind. That's also The Manapool. All of these things are The Manapool. Manapool, Manapool, Manapool.
So, see reference Manapool.
Yes. So if you would like to help support what I do with the 2 podcasts a week and YouTube videos and Twitch streams, then by all means, check out patreon.com/themanapool, where you can get Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early. Like right now, there's a video that hasn't gone out yet, which is another golden Hearthstone hero. I had to win 2 games to get a golden druid. It took decidedly more than 2 games, but There were some really interesting, bizarre games, the wins and the losses. So they're all there for you guys to check out. It's probably public by the time you're hearing this, but it, you know, you could have seen it 2 days ago. Just saying. So that's the early stuff. You can get the odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool that is uncensored and unfiltered, and you get to hear Clues swear. Nope.
Warning, Clues. There is swearing.
Okay. I half expected Clues to, like, wake up and say, and just bust out a bad word. And if you are feeling extra generous, you can become a Mana Pool lifeguard and get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and get the shout out on both podcasts and your name on the end slate for all the videos that go up for in each month that you support at that tier. So to that end, I would like to thank the following exceedingly generous lifeguards: Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Rafe Gall, Corey Clotier, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Team U, Hellas Are You, John Morris, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Brittain, Casey, Nathan Hay, Danny Liao, Jason Doan. Oh, hey, that's Infinius. Hey, buddy. excuse me. He pops up in the stream all the time, and he's in Australia, so he's always like, good morning, and we're like, we hate you. AJ Javieras, Cody Buckawing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, and the source of that Dominaria Globe, Aaron Goodwine. So thank you all so very much. I quite literally couldn't do it without your generosity. So on that note, we'll be done with this, which is Monday Night Magic number, what is it, 602? 602.
60 dose. 60 dose. 60
guacamole. Guacamole. In my eye. Not an experience I'd like to relive. So I'm looking at the camera as if I'm streaming. What the hell? So, thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.